This is the second interview with Sarah Rosner, a 1-year-old trade unionist from the Amalgamated Clothing Workers. This interview covered first more information about her background in Hungary and her training there to learn the sewing trade. She never actually worked in Hungary, but learned the trade after having to quit school at the age of 12 because the family had no clothing. She describes at length the family's name and the pride in which this name was held. After coming to the United States, she worked first as a domestic, as described in the first interview, then in a corset factory, then eventually went to Hart, Schaffner & Marx. It was not until the Hart, Schaffner & Marx 1910 strike that she first became involved in unionism. After the strike, during the strike rather, as a result of listening to all the speeches, she became class conscious. During this period, she apparently also became more politically aware and went to political meetings. She relates again the story told in the first tape about pulling out the people from another shop at Gerald's Coffin. Finally, in 1915, with that strike, she seems to have become more involved. She walked out with the others during that strike and then became the chairlady of the strike hall. This meant providing food, distributing money, sending out tickets. She describes methods of organizing non-union shops and then briefly talks about some other experiences and about the way in which women were treated. Period 1915 to 18 essentially ends this tape.
Begin with first is you told me that you started when you came to this country. When you were 15, you already knew how to sew.
Yes.
Now, did you learn in Hungary and did you work in Hungary?
I didn't work. I learned. I was a student. You see, what happened in those days. See, I come from a family. My people, my parents, were the elite on both sides. But they went down to nothing. We were starving. And when I was born, there wasn't enough bread to go around. But the name remained. Do you understand the Yiddish at all?
A little bit.
What they call the Yichas, the elite. The name is what counted. And the pride was there. And I was brought up with that feeling. Now, I couldn't go to school. I stopped going to school at the age of 12 because I didn't have a dress to put on. I didn't have any clothes. But my mother said I should go in the apron. Well, I was going to school with the lord's daughter and the baron's daughter. Hungary wasn't like Russia, you know. It was more that we had more freedom than Russia or Poland.
As Jews, you mean?
The Jews, yes.
You weren't in the ghetto?
No, you were nothing. Not in my time. I can go back on my father's history. There was anti-Semitism in the thing. He was accused of, I don't want to go one thing into another. But you're talking about me, so I'm not going to go into that. And anyways, my mother said, no, you're not going to go on the street, be a bum. And it was the rule that every rich child had to have, if they stopped school, they went to learn at sewing. And I was one of them, see, because I had the name. So I learned sewing. And I was so dumb. It was so hard for me to acquire the sewing. I wasn't good at art in school. I was good at reading. I was good at in Hungarian. I was pretty good. I never learned arithmetic. I was there with the rabbi's daughter and some other highfalutin children. And then I learned to sew. When they gave me the first pairs of sleeves to baste them, see? I did it upside down. I was so stupid. At first they gave me a thimble and a needle just to, without thread, see? Well, finally I got that. And believe me, it helped when I came to this country. Then I learned to work on the machine, just on rags and buttonholes and all that. So that's what I got.
Was this sort of like a trade school, in other words?
No, it wasn't. It was a high-class dressmaker, what they call it. How they call it, a fancy salon?
Salon,
yeah. She used to go to Budapest to get styles.
Were you actually considered apprentices or just learners?
I was learning.
I see.
I never got to the point where I could make a dress. I sewed for over 50 years, never made a dress for myself. Didn't know how. I could sooner make a man's coat. See, I got into man's clothing. Now, you want to talk about me?
Yeah, I want to talk about, you can tell me a little bit about your parents, so it would give me some feeling of the background.
Well, as I say, we were very poor. So, I used to take the finished garment to the customers. And he used to give you tips. And I was so goddamn proud that I refused to take tips. And I was starving. So it was reported to my superior, And it so happened, at one time I was asked to deliver an address to my former school teacher. I liked her. I remember her name. Mind you, it's so many years back. And she lived in the convent, in the church. And I was so religious. I was, from the nine children, I was the most religious one. I was religious up to the age of 20. I followed the footsteps of my parents up to the age of 20. I fasted. Now, when I came there, I refused to kiss the hand, because that was also because. And the place that I was learning, in some way, were related to my mother. So they took special interest in me. And when they served lunch, or dinner, what they called, they would invite me to join them. And I refused. I didn't want to show them that I was hungry. I mean, to that extent, the pride had stunk. You know, when I think back, how stupid kind of human being me, but that's what it was. I was 6 weeks old when my older sister got married. I'm jumping from one to another, but you figured it out what it is. She didn't have a nightgown. Her husband supplied everything. I mean, just because of the name. Because of the name. He made the wedding, and that's unusual in the old country. You have to have dowry.
Now this, was this true just in the Jewish community or all over the town, the name meant something?
Well, I wouldn't know to that extent. I think it was, generally speaking, it was, that was a, the elite existed in, amongst all of them, especially amongst the Jews. See, my mother came from a so-called higher class. It was a bigger town than my father. My father studied in the biggest yeshiva. But where he was born was more peasant-like. My mother's mother could read and write, so that's and it gives you a background of it. Now, to come back to myself and my trait, I finally got wise to myself, talking about this. I decided, after they complained about me refusing to take tips, I took the tips, and I went into a saloon, and I ordered the beer and pretzels and chocolate, and I lived the day. I lived. I learned the fundamentals of sewing. I learned to operate as a, not a power machine, a foot machine. You see, you can, if you read the book, you know the history of the tailor. They had to carry their own machine, their own thread, their own. In this country, when I came, when I started working in the Kost factory, I had to buy needles, machine needles. But I knew how to, I didn't know how to work on a power machine, but it didn't take me long. I was young and ambitious. I wanted to earn enough money to go back. This was my desire, to earn enough money, to save enough money for the dowry and go back and marry a yeshiva booker and get married and have a dozen children. This was my desire. Now that's my. Now,
how long did you learn in this salon then for the whole until you came to the United States? Were you there the whole 3 years?
Well, this was about 2 years. 2 years till I was 14. Then it started there was two sisters and a brother were out here and in this country, in Chicago. And it got so terrible bad that it was impossible to exist. So my father, I'd like to show you some of his penmanship, but next time I'll have it ready. He wrote a letter to my older sister, if you want to see us alive and not in a dream, see to it that we come to America. So lo and behold, they sent my mother and father a shift cart, a passage for the two of them. Now we were left there. My sister, my baby sister, my brother that is 3 years older than me, and myself. So they divided the three of us, and the four of us rather. The three of us sisters, the one that lived in Sherman Oak, and the one that passed away, and I was the oldest amongst the three, and I was like a mother to them. If anybody touched him, I was ready to kill him. I could go into that later on. I'll tell you about.
So the four of you after the parents left with.
This is what I mean. We were scattered.
Oh.
It was because one relative couldn't take all. So I went to my mother's family, my grandmother was still alive, my mother's mother. They still had part of the territory. She was a very wealthy woman. Everything dwindled down, but there was enough plot for her to live, and her sons lived on the, there.
Was it like a farm?
No, in the city.
Oh.
But so I went to live with my mother's brother. He was wealthy. He had two daughters, and there was plenty to eat. Of course, I felt miserable. And so my mother told him that I shouldn't be idle. I should go and finish sewing. So I went there, and here, where I left home, it was nice and clean, and was a studio more like. And there was kids, and it was filthy, stinky. I was 15 years old. I couldn't take it, so I just quit. Then I became a young lady. I started menstruating for the first time. I menstruated once. I was there. Now I lived the life of writing because there was plenty to eat and well taken care of. That was my mother's sister and two brothers and my grandmother. So I was all right. My sister, the one lived in Sherman Oaks, she was with my father's sister. She was a very clean woman. And she cried all the time. And my younger sister, the one that passed away, she was in Budapest with my older sister. She almost died of because the three of us never left my mother's apron string. We were very, the others drifted away from home. And we starved or not starved, but we stayed home. We didn't leave home. The others drifted away.
Was your brother working then, the oldest one who was
My older brother, he didn't want to go to school, and he didn't want to learn. One of my brothers, the older brother, that was here already, he started a yeshiva bucher. He had a good mind, but he couldn't stand the poverty, so he went to my sister in Budapest, and he learned shoemaking. And that was a terrible come down. Anyways, he never practiced it. He went to my sister in Budapest. They all ended in Budapest with my sister. And he came out here and well, this is about as far as it goes.
Now, while you were still in Hungary, what was the livelihood for the family? Your father was a rabbi.
He was a Malamit. He was a surfer. He was fixing Torah. He was a writer. He used to prepare the students for the rabbinical. I think I was 11 or 12 years old. I fell in love with the bucher, the yeshiva bucher, because at 4 o'clock they used to come and the prayers, and I was under the oh damn! I tell you, I started to write my own and I was offered help. I don't know. I neglected certain things. You go ahead and ask me questions.
So during those years then, most the money came, your father was paid by the congregation then.
Yeah.
And that's all the income the family had?
No. My mother became a practical nurse.
Oh.
And she was the secretary of the Ladies' Aid Society. And I'd like to show you a book that she was still a member here in Chicago of the Day Nurseries. She, I mean, they weren't from the... they had a very nice background. Like they call... I don't know how to express it. I had a very bad night, so it's hard for me to really concentrate. You see, my mother was far more ambitious than my father, and more forward, more outgoing. My father was a great intellect. There wasn't a topic, science, philosophy, that you can discuss with him. And he was up on everything from a religious point of view. My mother was more modern, always, from the beginning to the end. For instance, but all, even though he was so religious, yet he used to tell me, I pray to God that I should believe. He said, so there was a doubt. And he used to say about Israel, about Jerusalem, for instance, say, oh, we got to wait for Messiah to come. And my mother used to say, no, we got to help it to come along. It wouldn't come by itself. Because even when I was business agent, I used to give them my pay. I didn't... money never played a role in my life. They say that the people that suffer, that struggle, they become miserly. That was never my role. I always had an open... And I hate to say this, but from the 9 children, I was beside my youngest sister. Of course, they got married, and I didn't. And they wanted me to get married. And I wanted to get married, but on my way. I wanted somebody that I could look up to. Now, go ahead, find somebody that I can look up to. Well, anyways, I'm jumping to another. You better ask me questions.
What would your mother do as a practical nurse? She would be called to help with childbirths and things like that?
Childbirth, sick people. She administered medicine. One doctor, there were 2 or 3 doctors in the whole city. They were so crazy about it, they wanted to do everything for her to help them to become a regular nurse. So I want to say this. My father, he was always in the Talmud, always. In addition to that, he used to bind books, and I'd stay up with him night after night, helping him. And when they built a sicker, it wasn't the boys that give him the hand. I went to get the board, get all the paraphernalia that needed for it. I was always in his right hand. That's why I'd like to show you anyways.
Well then, so as a girl, because in Judaism so often the girls, it's not important for them to get education, you weren't treated that way as a girl in an Orthodox family.
Well, no, I wasn't. My father used to say he wished that the 2 boys would have been girls too. He wasn't satisfied because they didn't want to learn. My mother was partial to the boys, absolutely partial. She was partial, not that she... she used to say, cut this finger or cut that finger, I love them all alike. She didn't. She showed the hiding number. Because certain things that occurred in family, you know, and 10, 12 below zero, nobody wanted to go to work, I went to work. So they get, you know, big family in the house, they get into a fight. and she would protect my brother. I was a rebel. I didn't think.
Were your parents involved in any kind of radical politics in Hungary? Were they radicals at all?
No.
They weren't. No political.
No. No. They didn't. They weren't. They weren't. They were. See, they were in business when they first got married. See, my mother lived with her in-laws until my older sister got married. I mean, it was just the opposite way. Because she was born 3 months after her father died. So she had a stepfather. She didn't know the difference. She was born 3 months after her. But her mother didn't want her to know that this wasn't her father. And she used to tell me about, she was always put out. She didn't agree with her mother when she related these things to me. She was very open with me. More open, she told me from her childhood down, and so did my father. My father used to sit up with me he'd wait for me when I'd come home from a meeting 2-3 o'clock in the morning. He'd wait up for me after my mother was gone. He was a very interesting type. I respected him. I loved my mother in spite of him. But I'm jumping from one, but I'm giving you the background of it all. Now you can go ahead with your questions.
When your mother was a practical nurse, had she gone to school for any training, or she just picked it up?
No, she had self-educated. To give you an idea, there was a banker in town. I told her she was the secretary of the Ladies' Aid Society, but she was giving private lessons to the rich. They became rich, and she became poor, but she was educated. So she gave lessons to the banker's wife. I'm telling you, this is related to me by my mother. The banker came home, and he sees my mother, he looks at her, and he says, I want to know who she was. And he started asking questions. And to cut the long story short, this banker was turned down by my mother's mother. She didn't want it. No, so my mother used to come home. He would starve all week. He'd come unloaded with food. She said, "No, I'm satisfied." She could feed her family. And my father would, he'd sit and, not that he didn't want to, he just couldn't do it. Now then, it was a matter of collecting the money that he was entitled to for teaching. I went to collect. I went to collect by an attorney. The poor boys they killed in the First World War. Ignat. I remember the name, mind you. I fell in love with him. A child. I was 10 years old. I went to collect the money.
It's just that he was so scholarly that he didn't
know about those. You know, he used to talk about chemistry. He used to make his own medicine. If a child was sick, he'd stay. It isn't that he was lazy or anything. He'd stay up all night and apply hot compress or cold compress. He was this kind of.
So when you came then, The four of you came.
No, the four of them did not come. There's one sister that was here before. she stayed here 2 years, earned enough money for a dowry. She went home and married the yeshiva bukhar.
Oh, I see.
Wait. Then it happened, her husband came out, and she remained. And she was in Budapest with my older sister. And my younger sister, the baby that passed away, she came out with this sister. So she came out, we came out, the three of us came out in April 1980, and she came in, I think she came in November 1907, you know, a couple months ahead of us. And the poor kid almost died of thinking of mommy. She was the baby. You know, it was a terrible thing to leave a child of eight. And I can still cry about it. I mean, I am emotional anyway when it comes to her. Because I raised her more than my mother did.
How much younger was she than you?
6 years. I remember when she was born. She was born on a Friday night. She was born into her. You don't want
now,
this.
How much ahead of you did your mother and father come out then?
They came out in 1907. They came out about 4 or 5 months ahead of us.
So then when you came, you went to the butcher shop and then to the corset factory.
Yeah.
Then after the corset factory is when you went to Hart Chapman Marks?
Yeah.
And here you were still living at home and you were still...
I never left home. I never left home, other than when I went to Liquid Labor College. Then I gave up.
So even when you were business agent, you lived at home?
Oh, even then I gave my mother the check. The only time I used to get angry is when I'd make a donation to the Socialist Party and she'd reprimand me. I said, no, I'm not going to give the check anymore. Or for instance, I never liked credit. If I didn't have it, I didn't like credit. If I didn't have it, I never bought anything on credit outside the house. I drove for 50 years, but I never bought a car until I had the means. I used to, in those days, in the early days, on the average, I earned more than the average man in my line, you see, because I worked for three. Mm-hmm. I was strong, young, and when I got through working in the shop, I came home and worked. I scrubbed the floors and I didn't let my mother do anything. She wasn't a strong woman. She used to wash the clothes. And I didn't let her do it. In the old country, we had somebody to do, as poor as we were. See, it was a different thing.
How old was your mother when you were born here?
When I was born, she was... How old was she when I was born? My sister was 18 when she got married. I was 6 weeks old, and my mother was 36. 36, 37, I think. Something like mm-hmm. that.
Now, you mentioned before that at the corset factory you had to buy your own needles.
Yeah.
Now, also the thread?
No. We had to check the thread. Check in, check out. You know, we should.
Was it taken off your pay, though?
No. The needles were.
And how about, I noticed somewhere in the book they talk about having, when you went into a shop, you'd have to pay a quarter for an oil can. Did you have to do any of that?
No, I didn't imagine it. This is system that you were in there.
So you just paid...
No, when I came in the tailor's shop, we didn't have to do that anymore. But we had to do other things. Now, when the women especially suffered agony, if they didn't give themselves up to the examiner, to the to the system former, to the foreman. I'll tell you what I did. See, I was religious. The foreman came over to me, and I was 17 years old, 16. He grabbed me by the breast. At that time already, I was 2 years older. And I used the big scissors. I was basing armholes, and I had to use... I said, "You son of a bitch, I'll run this tree. You're fired." I said, and even this was in 1999. I went over to the superintendent. He was a goy, a sweet, Rosengreen. And I told him the story about it. I told him who I was, what my background. He fired him.
Was this at Harsh after Mark?
Yes, that was unusual.
In the course of the factory, you were using a machine?
Pardon?
In the course of the factory, you were using a machine?
First, let me tell you. When I started to work there, I was putting on tags. You know, I don't know what it was, but I was putting on tags. Didn't mean anything. And one day, it was pouring cats. And I was wearing a big straw hat with roses on it. And you had to wear white clothes, you had to be very clean. Of course, it had to be, you know. I came in and there's something was wrong with a dozen courses there. I didn't know what it was. And superintendent come over and there was something spotted. I didn't do it. He comes over and he says to me, "Did you do that?" And I bowed. I was humble because I wanted to make good. I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." He says, "You're fired." I says, "Thank you, thank you." And I kept on working. So he stopped and left. So he went over to the forelady. There was a 6-footed forelady. And she liked me. She spoke German and I got along with her very good. Well, she kept on pushing me. She was very fond of me. Then I headed out with the forelady. She wanted to. I didn't contribute towards the gift. So there, I worked Sundays, scrubbed the toilets so that we can pay the $8 rent.
The other children weren't contributing to the family?
Well.
Or you were the main one?
Yeah. I was the main contributor.
And you're. So your earnings had to support how many people then?
Well, mainly my folks and my baby sisters. You see, during the strike, she had to stay home. She didn't have shoes to go to school. But this youngest sister, she was 9 years old.
So your earnings had to support 4 people then?
Yeah. Well, it's more than that occasionally, but I say 4 people.
And so you were able to make $8 a week by working on Sunday?
Yeah, because I got $1.50. You see, otherwise I would only get $5 a week. But even $5 a week.
Now, what happened about you? You didn't work on Shabbos, though, did you?
No.
And they would let you, it was all off with them?
Yeah.
Was that true of a lot of the girls working, or were you
working? No, very, very few. Well, I don't remember, so many years ago. I think that I had to work there on Saturdays. In Hashem and Marks, I didn't work on Saturdays. That I remember. Here it was a forced situation, so it was either die or do. Do or die. But I was taken in by a lunchman. And, you know, they all put fun at me because I was... a rabbit.
So the whole time at the Corset Factory, you were doing hand sewing then?
I was
doing hand sewing.
No. The Corset Factory, I only worked about 3 months. I worked on the machine most of the time.
Oh. And then when you went to Hartshepherd Marks, was the next job?
The Hartshepherd Marks, I worked by hand from 1999
to about 1918. And it was hand sewing then?
Yes. All kinds. You see, I didn't stay on one job. I always wanted, always promoted myself. I was ambitious. And then I got, it was very monotonous to do the same thing. And it was the same thing on machine. But then when I became so active that I had to take care of 1,000 people, you see, I couldn't be too fussy. I took a job that was terrible monotony. That was my last job, by the way. That was lining felling. I'll show you what it is. See, the inside of a coat. I haven't got a coat here. There's a lining. There's a lining in the coat. And it's bent over like this. And it's a special machine. It's a very special kind of work. And you have to be very careful with the stitches. And the stitches is better and nicer than a hand stitch. But it's the same thing day in, day out. But the earning is 10 times that of what I earn by hand, which is harder.
Now, when you were first in Hartshepherd and Marks, you were on piecework then?
Always piecework. Always. I didn't like piecework. You see, I can tell you something about that thing. being a socialist, I realized that it'll take a long time for people to become enough conscientious so they don't take advantage. You know, let George do it. But for instance, they used to give people time work in the shop and they'd lay down. I couldn't take it. Do what you're entitled to. You're only what happens when you do that, the price goes up. You know, I tried to explain it to my business, you're fooling the boss. There was a time that I did everything to hurt the boss. Spoil things, cut things, destroy things. I did before we were organized.
In non-union shops?
Yes. I used to do that. But once you were organized, well, you're cutting your own throat. You see, people couldn't comprehend that. You're a socialist. You destroyed. I want to destroy. When? The time for everything is a place for everything. I want to prepare you for a time where you will be responsible for everything. If you take over, the concentration of they say the, well, let me not go from one thing into another because.
So it's the Edward Champlin Marks though. You were there before Big Strike when it was organized. First were there, it was not organized.
No.
Now, what were the working conditions like before it was organized?
Horrid. I told you, I was. I wouldn't say that I was the only one, but I don't know of anybody else that did what I did. I would fight physically to defend myself. But the average girl, but she was horror.
Were most of these Jewish men, Sarah? Or were they
not necessarily. No. There was a mix.
Uh-huh.
There were, and most of them were illiterate. Most of them, and so was I. When I was a business agent, and I'm still illiterate, my schooling consisted of not quite four years. Yet I was a business agent. But so was the manufacturer. I mean, we were on the same level. The fact is, when I went in to make piece rates, now, I didn't know what it was all about. I just used common sense, common horse. Fortunately, I happened to have a labor manager, intelligent, representing the company.